Well, good morning, church. We're so thankful that you've joined us this morning for our second online service. Yeah, it's been a bit of a crazy week and there's lots going on in our world, but we're thankful that you took the time to stop by and to hang out with us for this morning's message. We're still continuing on our Great Expectations series, which is our Lent series, and we're so thankful that you're able to join us today. I've really been enjoying going through this series because it helps us get back on track. Sometimes because of the busyness of life, because of what's going on in our world, you name it, there's all sorts of things that distract us. And so I'm very thankful that we have this time where we can start to look at ourselves and analyze our own hearts, where we're at, how we're doing in our relationship with God, and what that looks like. So I want you to take the time this morning as we walk through this scripture and reflect on our own lives, different things that maybe we need to work on. Maybe there's some areas in our life that we could be better at. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be better. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do good or do more. And so I want us to take a look at that this morning. But before we do that, we just want to take a quick review of what we talked about last week. You see, last week we looked at repentance, and we realized that when we look back on ourselves, that we realize that we were not the person we thought we were. Anytime we're in the presence of God, we really start to recognize that we are not the person we thought we were when we're in the presence of a holy God. And so repentance is recognizing that fact. Repentance is coming to that point where we can say, you know what, I'm not the person that I thought I was. But when we walk daily with Christ, when we walk daily with Jesus, we realize that we're not the person we used to be as well. And so we don't stay in that area of you're not the person you thought you were, because we're walking with Christ, we're growing in faith in Him, and He's showing us the areas of our lives that we need to grow in. And so we start to realize, you know what, I may not be the person I thought I was, but I am definitely not the person I used to be. And that's a very good place to be in this life. When you recognize that, you know what, I'm walking with Jesus and I may make mistakes. I may mess up here and there. I may do the wrong thing, but you know what? I'm not the person I used to be because I'm following Jesus. And that's a really great place to be. And when we look at Lent, when we look at analyzing our own heart, and as we're walking towards Easter and looking forward to that big celebration of what's going to happen there, we start to realize, you know what, there are things in my life I can change, I can improve on in my walk with Jesus. And you know what? That's okay. It's a good place to be. You see, today we're going to look at forgiveness. And forgiveness is something that I think we all struggle with. I think it's something that we struggle with forgiving others, and we also struggle with forgiving ourselves. And you know, the Bible is very clear and just talks about this in many areas, but I want to show you one scripture today that is super clear. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." I think those are very important words that we need to recognize when it comes to forgiveness. And I know that a lot of people struggle with forgiving other people, but they really do start to struggle with forgiving themselves. There's many people that have a hard time with that. And I want us to look at that and recognize that, you know, technically, forgiveness starts with God. The forgiveness that He has shown us has been extended to us, and we're able to extend that as well. But it's important to remember that forgiveness in reality is not instant. We tend to think that, you know, Scripture says, well, forgive everyone, so you know what, I'm just going to forgive. And you know what, that's not the way it works. In real life, it's very difficult for us to forgive. Someone has hurt us very badly, and we struggle to forgive. And that's something that we need to decide, okay, what is that going to look like in our journey of forgiveness to that person? Yes, forgiveness from God is instant, but when it comes to us as human beings, it's not as instant as it is with God. And maybe it should be, but you know what? In reality, it's not. And we have to recognize that, and we have to be able to realize that it's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey. And as we walk through that journey, we're going to learn a lot about ourselves, and we're going to learn a lot about God and how that all comes together in our walk with Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look at a portion of scripture in Isaiah chapter 6 verses 1 to 8. And let's read that. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Have you ever met someone famous? Now, by in no means am I saying that someone famous is next to God. But have you ever been in the room with someone who commands the room, someone with authority, someone with power? I've met some famous people along the way, and as you get to know them, you start to recognize that they are normal humans just like the rest of us. There's nothing more powerful. But if I was to say to someone like Trevor Linden, "Hey, you know what? Let's go one-on-one in a shootout," I can probably guarantee you he would win. His skills are far beyond mine. And so there's a respect there. There's a, "Whoa, that's Trevor Linden." Or you could use anything, a musician, whether it doesn't matter who it is. You walk in the room and that person commands the room. They're super talented. They've done great things. And you're kind of in awe. That is like barely anything compared to what it would be like to be in the presence of God. You recognize that you're not as good as him. There's no way you could be there. That's not going to happen. But you recognize how many times in your life you've put yourself in front of him. You recognize the things that you've done have not always been positive or good. And so being in the presence of God, we can see that Isaiah is awestruck. He realizes to the core of his being that he is not right to be in the presence of God. And then out of the blue, God comes in, and this third point in this scripture forgives Isaiah. The coal is touched to his lips. It says that he is clean, he's forgiven, and it's offered free. But we also realize that there was a process. There was a process of Isaiah recognizing the holiness of God. There was the process of him recognizing that he was not fit to be in the presence of God. And then there was also the realization, you know what, there's nothing I can do about it. And God comes in and does something about it. And so we realize that God forgives us in the end. He forgives us, and there's nothing that we could do. Last week, we looked at a couple verses in Isaiah 6 and considered what it looks like to repent. And truthfully, repentance is something that we should be looking at regularly. We should be doing regularly. We should be analyzing our own hearts. But this story of Isaiah shows forgiveness well. It shows that God is doing something amazing that we couldn't do on our own. And after Isaiah confesses that he's a man of unclean lips and he repents, in that metaphor of unclean lips is talking about sin in his life, not being right with God, something happens. Isaiah is forgiven completely. And so he didn't do anything to deserve it. He just realized where he was at in his life. And God goes, "You know what? You've recognized that. You're forgiven." And so the angel puts the tongue to his lip. And in that, he says, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And that word atone is not to take away something. It's not like it's being taken away. It's actually meaning that it's paid for. This sin, whatever it is in his life, this uncleanliness has been paid for. God didn't just wipe it away. He paid for it and took care of it. It's taken from the very altar of God, and God forgave just like that. This coal that touched the lips cleansed him. And so this scripture is an incredible image of God's grace and God's forgiveness. Isaiah did nothing to deserve this act of forgiveness and this act of atonement. God just did it. And so Isaiah says, I'm not worthy. And God's response is to forgive him. Well, that's a pretty incredible place to be, isn't it? Isaiah's experience of forgiveness is a demonstration of the grace of God. You see, grace is God's unmerited favor to us. It is a gift that is freely given, which we do not deserve. And while Lent is a time to prepare for Christ, it is worth reflecting that the grace he gives us is not just something we receive at Easter. It's not just something that happens once a year, but every day, all day. And it's because of the evidence in our life that that proves that God has given us his grace and extended his grace and forgiveness. When we are blessed, that is because God's grace is upon us. When we're just allowed to breathe, that's God's grace. That's unmerited. We don't deserve it, but he allows it. And so when we look at this Easter every day, when you wake up in the morning, you need to recognize that God's grace has allowed you to breathe. Every day is a new day. Every day is an experience because God has allowed that to happen in your life. And a lot of times we tend to think, and we can fall into this trap, that grace is something we can bargain with God. If I do something good, then God's going to give me something good in return. A grace, he'll give us grace, or he'll give us a blessing or something. That's not what it is. That's not how grace works. The atonement that Isaiah experienced in this scripture shows grace is one-sided. And it's one-sided coming from God. It's not coming from us. It's coming from God. Now, the great thing about grace is that because God has shown us grace, we can then extend ourselves. We can extend grace to others and show that same grace that God has given us. When there's time to forgive someone, when there's a moment that we need to forgive, when there's someone has done something to us and we're very hurt, we can be forgiving. And us showing that grace to someone else and forgiving them, even if they didn't ask for it. And that's where the undeserving part comes in. They didn't ask for it. And that's if they're still mad at you, whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is you've forgiven them and you can move forward. That's grace. God has shown that to us. In our personal lives and our relationships, when we extend that grace to someone else, they can either receive it or not receive it. But the point is, it's one-sided. We've extended it. Now, if you're doing the Christian walk, if you're walking on a Christian journey, a spiritual journey that's going to bring you closer to Jesus, then you would extend that grace as well. If someone asked forgiveness, you would extend that grace to them, even if you felt they didn't deserve it. So when we look at grace and forgiveness, it's all one-sided, and it starts with one person. Now, when it comes to our relationship with God, he's the only one that can give that. He's the one that's going to give that grace, and he's going to give it to us undeserved. But we can extend that grace to others, and they can extend that grace to us. Do you see how it works there? If we're continuing to do that, then we are actually mimicking what God has done for us. And that's what Jesus talks about. When Jesus talks about love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, when he tells us to do that, and then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, there's the answer right there. It's actually quite simple. And so if we take these lessons from Scripture and implement them in our own lives, even in our own relationships, we can see that extending that grace, extending that forgiveness is going to help us get along in life further. It's going to help us with relationships with other people on a regular basis. We are the ones that are going to be extending that when it's not even deserved. And that's okay, because that's Christian love. Christian love doesn't care about whether or not you deserve it or not. Christian love is an extension. Christian forgiveness is an extension of Jesus Christ. Because why? He forgave us. He loved us undeserved, died for us, rose again for us. Listen, in these times, when people are hoarding all sorts of weird things at Costco, when people are taking more toilet paper than they need, To be honest with you, I have no idea why somebody would need a flat of toilet paper, but you know, that's just me. It's one of those things. Hoarding water. These are another thing, whereas I don't know if you've noticed, but if you just go turn your tap on, water comes out. We live in a country where we are blessed. There are many other countries that can't do that, but we can. So hoarding water, hoarding toilet paper doesn't really make any sense to me. But we can extend love and grace to those people as well. As much as we're frustrated, as much as we may be angry with them, how people respond in these times is out of fear. And when people respond out of fear, they do things that they maybe wouldn't have done before because they're looking out for who? Themselves. And that's why when we analyze our hearts, are we looking at ourselves? Are we focusing on me? Yes, there is a time for that when we have to look at us and we have to protect our family. We have to get supplies for our family, but not at the expense of other people. And if we have that sort of view, we're going to get through this quite well. And you know, there will be loss, there will be pain, there will be hurt. But in the end, if we're showing love, that's going to ride through any pandemic that they can throw at us. And so as Christians, where are you at? What are you doing for your neighbor? What are you doing for those in your workplace? Yes, you got to keep a distance. Yes, you want to be smart, safe, and healthy. But what are you doing for them? Do they need help? Is there someone who can't get out, someone who's shut in, an elderly person that might need that help that you can give, again, at a safe distance? And so when we look at our own heart, we're not looking at our heart to say, you know, I'm great. We're looking at our own heart so we can say, you know, God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to improve? What are some areas in my life that I need to work on? And if you do that, I promise you that God is going to speak to you. Along with your regular devotions and prayer, I promise you that if you seriously look at yourself and recognize, where can I improve on? What can I do more for you, Lord? He will show you. It might not be what you think. It might look different, but that's up to Him. And that's something that you're going to have to be ready for. And that only comes, the answer only comes through prayer and taking time with the Lord, spending time with Him. And you know what? We all got a lot of time to do that this season. So, you know, right now, if you're at home binge watching Netflix, you know what? As much as I love a good series, it's probably a good time where you could sit down and maybe get into the Word, talk to the Lord about where you're at. I don't know, just a thought. Maybe think about that. But when we sit down and recognize that we are unclean and that we are not perfect. That's really what that unclean means, not perfect. When we realize that, it's then when we can start to move forward. It's like anything. When you recognize it, when you grab hold of it and own it and know, hey, you know what, I need to improve in this area. I need to be, you know, maybe thinking of others better. That's when you really start to make the change. And so I want to encourage you to extend forgiveness to others. I want to encourage you to extend grace to others. And you know what? It doesn't matter if it comes back. But the point is, you're doing as modeled by Jesus, as modeled by what God has given us in Scripture, His Word. And so I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to get into His Word. I want to encourage you to pray and ask God to show you things that maybe you're missing, that maybe, whether it's an opportunity, whether it's an improvement, whether it's something you're doing well. You know what? We're not always beating ourselves up. Let's not go there. Let's not think that we're always trying to, you know, beat ourselves up. That's not what it's about. We talked about last week that repentance wasn't about beating yourself up. But it was about analyzing our heart and then moving forward, having a plan, talking to the Lord, walking with Him and figuring out where He wants us to go and what He wants us to do. And honestly, this is a great time for Him to speak into our lives. And then, you know what we got to do after that? Once He's spoken to us, there's only so much time you can spend in His Word and praying and then not doing anything about it. Honestly, you need to step out there and you need to do something about that. What that looks like right now is going to be completely different in everybody's, you know, circumstances. But I want to encourage you to ask God to show you what you can do as an extension of God's grace, of God's forgiveness, and His love to the people around you. And so I just want to pray for you right now. Thank you for joining me this morning. And I just want to pray for you that God will give you direction, that God will help you to forgive others and forgive yourself, and extend that grace and that love that we've been talking about for so long to others around us that maybe don't necessarily deserve it, but you know what? Neither did we. So let's extend that love and that peace and that grace and that forgiveness to others. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this day you've given us. And Lord, as many may be in isolation, many being may be in quarantine, we just pray for those that are sick right now. We pray that there will be healing. We pray that your hand will touch them and heal them. We ask that you will guide the doctors. Thank you for doctors, nurses, first responders, all those that are working in this situation that we have, this pandemic. And I just ask that you would continue to give them strength and support and lift them up from others around. I just ask that as we analyze our own hearts, as we get closer to Easter, that you will help us recognize what you want us to do, what we need to do, where we need to improve, and what that looks like. I would just pray that you will give clarity to us. Help us to be real with ourselves, not beat ourselves up too much, but be real with ourselves so that we can move forward and do what you want us to do. And so in each and every situation that's represented here today, I just ask that you will give guidance and direction. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what? God bless you. I hope you have a great week. Remember, take that time, get into the Word, spend time with family. And I just pray that you have an incredible week and keep praying for those that are out there battling this. Pray for those that are shut in, those that are sick, those that are most vulnerable. Pray for them daily. Anytime you think about it, pray for them because you know what? They need it. There's a lot going on and they need prayer. And so thank you. God bless you. And we will see you next week.